Thanks for listening to The Drive on Demand, presented by Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment.
Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766.
Or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with D-Mac, Tyler Palumbus, and Nick Ferguson. Now here's the top six at six.
How about six? Six is good.
All right, fellas, here is Vic Fangio about Drew Locke.
Good. You know, he's, I think the time off in some ways, although you never want it, helped him. You know, I think he learned a lot. Whereas, you know, when he was going through it in the spring and in training camp before he got hurt, it was piling up on him, I think, besides learning the new offense and being under center, which he had never done in college, et cetera. All those things were piling up on him and getting in the way of progressing the way you'd like to see him progress. And I think through his time off, he's been able to solve some of those issues emotionally and mentally, and I think he's looked a little bit better the first 2 days, albeit 8 to 10 snaps, half the scout team snaps, you know, very limited sample.
So just to recap, he looks better because he needed time off. Am I getting this right? So a rookie who's never played and hadn't played could have used some time off.
That was a pretty rough assessment.
What am I missing here? This sounds ridiculous.
The more I listened to that, it sure did sound like they just tossed him on the IR. like they got rid of him. That is what that sort of sounded like. I'm not going
to lie. Like they wanted him to take the pressure off and go away for a little bit.
It did sound like that, did it not?
Thank you.
Yeah,
it does. You guys have just finally figured it out. I said before that, he had a thumb injury on his thrown hand, but it was non-surgical. Right? It wasn't really serious. So he was in fact stashed on IR to help bring him up to speed.
That did sound like that. I'm not going to lie, but it is still mind blowing to me because when I watched the preseason, I don't really understand where all this criticism is coming from.
Like, he didn't look that bad, did he?
He didn't even really look bad, guys. He looked fine. He didn't look exciting. He didn't look like he was ready to play.
Do you think it was just a disaster behind the scenes?
I don't know what it was. I can't imagine what was going on.
Well, he was probably overwhelmed by the play installation where it fried his brain because Fangio said that, there were so many things he had to try to process. Learning to trying to play from under center, going through his progression, taking in all the information.
But
brain fried.
Maybe this is why he was put on IR. Maybe he, as crazy as it sounds, maybe he did need a little timeout because things were happening too fast for him. It's crazy, but maybe that was the case.
I can't figure it out. I can't figure out what they knew, but it sounds like it.
Now you guys are buying in.
Right, I'm not Richie. Buying
it. Tom Brady, 42 years old. Very spry 42 years old, by the way. It's always been his goal to play to 45 years old. Now all of a sudden his trainer, Alex Guerrero, who we all know. Cult leader.
Right. TB12.
Nick's leader. We all know that they're attached at the hip, right? They are discussing everything all day long, every day. Now he's saying that Tom, 45 is not enough. Maybe it should be 46. No, maybe it should be 47. The numbers just keep adding up. This guy wants to play football.
Okay, what's your question?
That's a statement.
Yeah, I know. Where are you going?
All right, change your mind about anything.
I think Tom Brady loves...
I know it doesn't change your mind.
I think he loves football. I think one thing that's clear, if you've read his cult book, or you've watched Tom vs. Time, or you just have spent any time at all looking into who this guy is, you'll realize the number one thing he actually loves is football. Some guys just love football,
All right,
there's a lot of NFL guys that don't love football. A lot.
If Tom Brady has 5 years left in him, at 42, he goes to 47 years old. Number one, do you think he could? Number two, if he really could play 5 more years, what is his worth really to any football team outside of the Patriots?
All right, well, first of all, I don't think he can play till 47. And I think when if he was trying to do it, the fall off the cliff would be just, it would be ugly to watch. But I think he probably has 3 years left. I do. So I think his value is within 3 years.
I don't think he can play to 47. I know with TB12, it definitely has changed a lot about Tom. All you have to do is look at all his faces from different years. You can see the metamorphosis that goes on with him. But it's a great concept. It's a great idea. But in order for Tom to play at that age, I'll say 45, that would still have to be with the New England Patriots. No other organization. I couldn't see it taking place.
I could definitely see it happening somewhere outside of New England.
Like where?
I don't know that specifically. I could give you a list of 6 or 7 teams that would be interested in him. But I firmly believe that between this and the information that came out with Adam Schefter a month or so ago, when Adam said that he put the house on the market, right, that he put the void in his contract, and all this was very intentional so that he could potentially play elsewhere. And now all of a sudden the trainer is saying, no, 45 is not enough. He's got more than that in him. The guy wants to play football, and this is all adding up to some sort of war with the Patriots.
Ring it, Richie.
So Vic Fangio was asked earlier today if Deontay Spencer is on notice now that the team has acquired Cyrus Jones.
There he goes.
No. He was available. We liked him to some degree. And, we want to see what he is as a DB, first and foremost. And then that he can return punts is a bonus.
So I ask you guys, how hot is Spencer's seat?
Medium. I don't think you're looking at anything right away, but they're curious enough about it. And I do believe you always need cornerback depth anyways, right? And Cody Zenzibaz, sent packing, and he was playing. So I actually do think there's cornerback need. So Spencer, medium heat.
Spencer's actually done himself a favor here in the last couple weeks, because you are never secure on any football team when you only have one job, and that job is on special teams. You are never secure. But he has found a very small role on the offense. However, that role could easily be going away right now with the return of Tim Patrick. So I think the fact that Cyrus Jones can return kicks, it's a convenience factor, but Deontay Spencer better not mess up.
I think the return of Tim Patrick only enhances Deontay Spencer's accessibility in the offense, because now Sutton is one, Patrick is a two, and you bring in a shifty guy who knows what to do with the ball in his hands and Deontay Spencer, and you keep Deshaun Hamilton on the side.
Do you think that will happen? You think Spencer will get more reps than Deshaun Hamilton?
Especially starting in this game against tenacious defense like they're going to face against Minnesota, you need a guy who's a joystick type of guy in the slot, and Spencer provides that, and Deshaun Hamilton doesn't.
I'll say this. He probably deserves it more than Deshaun Hamilton. He does deserve it, matter of fact. He has shown some production. However, I don't think it'll happen because politics are tough to get over.
Ray Ritchie. Tonight, Steelers at the Browns. I love this game, man. I think this is going to be fun to watch. We'll have the broadcast for you right here on The Fan when we wrap things up. Who do you think looks better at quarterback, Mason Rudolph or Baker Mayfield?
I'm going to go with Rudolph, because Rudolph hasn't really turned the ball over at a high clip like Baker Mayfield. And then he can turn around and hand the ball off to James Conner or Jalen Samuels. So when you look at the grand scheme of things, it's better for Mason Rudolph. I mean, he only has like one reliable receiver, and that's Juju Smith-Schuster. But he's been really good with the ball. So anytime you're great with the ball, and, job security is ball security, right? So if you're good with the ball, you play better.
Look, I don't really want either one of these guys right now, but I would agree. Baker Mayfield has been a
job security.
Thank you.
Yeah, Baker Mayfield has been a liability with the football, and he's turning it over way, way too much. All that being said, I still took Cleveland tonight.
I'm going to say it's going to be Baker, buddies.
Of course,
the game's at home. I think the way he's been playing is not who he is. I think he's had a bad beginning to the season, and he really is more like the player we saw last year. And to me, I think he could have a great game. I'm not saying Mason Rudolph will look awful, but it would not surprise me at all tonight if Baker Mayfield goes out there and lights it up. And, you know, I'm looking forward to it. Especially because tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, I'm on with Mike Evans, and inevitably this game is going to come up. Because it's the ultimate, you know...
Khaki pants, quarterback.
There's no doubt about Mason Rudolph. He is pure khaki pants. Bring it, Richie.
Last week, the Broncos had a bunch of explosive plays on offense. Like, the entirety of their offensive production came off of 7 or 8 different plays, which in my mind is a great thing. You can't score in the NFL without explosive plays. However, there are people out there saying, okay, well, that should discount what Brandon Allen's performance was. Rich Gangarella was asked about it. Do you guys think that this should discount Brandon Allen's performance?
What do you mean discount?
The fact that the entirety of the offense came on just a handful of plays.
Oh, okay. Well, I think we had our expectations for Brandon Allen were so low. I think we have all convinced ourselves he had a spectacular game.
Yeah.
But putting a little distance with it and kind of looking at it a tad more objectively, like when they're in the film room and they look at the touchdown pass to Courtland Sutton, I mean, what kind of grade is Brandon Allen actually getting on that throw?
Minus.
Don't you think?
You get two grades in the NFL. You get a plus for knowing the job, knowing your assignment, and you get a plus or a minus for executing it. So I guess you got a plus minus on that play.
Okay. I guess my point is, I think everybody knows what the real reality of the situation is, but we all want the best. And of course, our expectations were so low, it probably looked better than it actually was. So everybody's still a little hesitant about everything.
Well, my expectations were not that low for Brandon Allen that game. I expected him to go out and perform well and expect the Broncos to win that game because I just looked at how Cleveland ran the ball. But Brandon Allen is an adequate quarterback, and he's proven from the Cleveland game, if you reduce the game plan, you shorten it down, the play calling, and you give him quick throws, and if there are running lanes and he can take advantage of it, I mean, he could be a great quarterback. And then knowing the fact that he didn't, I mean, attempt to completion ratio wasn't great, but when you look at the fact that a lot of those plays were explosive plays, I'll take that all day, every day.
Maria Ritchie.
So the NFL released a list of teams who are committed to attend Colin Kaepernick's workout on Saturday. And to give you an idea, you have Denver, Detroit, Miami, New England, the Giants, Jets, Tampa, Atlanta, Cleveland, Arizona, and Washington. Do any of those teams surprise you?
No, actually, you know, based on everything, I'm surprised more teams aren't there. You know, if I'm a team, what do I care? I got area scouts, right? Every team has area scouts.
I think more will show up.
Yeah, I do too. I would. Why wouldn't you send an area scout to the workout? I mean, I get it. There's college games that you got to be at, but really, there's not somebody on your staff? I mean, first of all, how many teams have bye weeks this week? Like 4 teams. Then we have a Thursday night game between the Steelers and the Browns. That's 6. And you know what? I'm going to say something else. I think it sends a message to your team. And as unpopular as Colin Kaepernick may be to some of the general population, my guess is within the league with players, Colin Kaepernick's very popular. And I think most players on the team would want to know, hey, yeah, I'm proud that my team has somebody checking it out. I mean, I'm not talking about a top-level guy, but seriously, you can't send somebody? I would, if I'm running a team, I send somebody. You know, I think that makes sense.
Well, you've got people on your staff for that sole purpose.
Yeah,
to go to these events and go evaluate. They're scouts, you know.
Right.
You've got an opportunity to watch somebody. Go ahead and send them. I've got no beef with that. I do think that more teams will show up because I think there's going to be a sense of we don't want to be the team that does not show
right.
up to
that,
a degree.
That becomes something, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. I guess the real question in my mind, of these 11 teams, how many of those are actually interested?
That's a good question.
Well, we don't really know how many teams are actually interested, but the idea that, hey, here's a guy who's been out of the league for 3 years, and when he played at a very high level, he was one of the best in the league, and now you have this centrally located personal workout that maybe you as a team didn't want to embark on because you didn't want the other teams or fan bases looking at you sideways. Now here's a party that we're all invited to. We can now see Colin Kaepernick go out and display his ability and determine for ourselves whether he can play or not.
We'll dig deeper into it after 6:30. It's one of the more bizarre NFL occurrences of all time, that's for sure. Why is it happening? Like I said, give us about 10 minutes. Ring it, Richie. Wrap it up.
Yes.
Ooh. On the RamosLaw.com text line, got an X's and O's question. Guys ready for some football-y X's and O's?
This.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Tyler
got
and
a
Nick.
Whiteboard?
Well, you can use one if you want.
Yeah. I got an Expo in my
there
hand.
There you go. You're good. Guys, can you bring a backside blitz almost every down to stop play action?
You know what? Nick, you take this one from a defensive perspective. I've got my opinion, but I'm curious yours.
Well, you can.
Why don't you explain what that question actually means?
Well, they're talking about like in a West Coast system. It's all built off the bootleg, right? And so they're trying to stop that, to prevent the quarterback from being able to roll out and just scramble for 10 yards and let receivers get wide open. That's more or less what they're saying, right? Am I reading that any different?
No, you're correct.
Yeah.
So basically what happens on that type of play, the quarterback is actually turning his back to you. So the lone guy with the responsibility to making sure the quarterback doesn't come out of the back door is possibly maybe a defensive end or outside linebacker, depending on if it's a 4-3 or 3-4
defense.
It's
not a corner or safety?
No, the corner or the safety, he's back off the ball. I mean, he's secondary support. So it's always that guy's closest to the line of scrimmage. And his job is to try to pull up that quarterback. So once that quarterback starts to run away, and with that zone stretch action running away, they're hoping that you start to chase down the line. So once the quarterback peels back, your depth as far as where you're located and the quarterback is located is offset. But if you track running away, looking at either that tight end or that tackle's, you know, waistline, and you establish yourself 1 yard over the line of scrimmage, as soon as that quarterback comes out the back door, or if they bring a tight end who may peel off and try to run to the flat, you're right there. So now you go pull up the quarterback, and then now you have a DB who now can take maybe that second or that third level over route.
So can you do it? I mean,
No way could you do it. However, I would say this. If I was playing a Gary Kubiak team, without a doubt, I would gamble multiple times per game and blitz my corner.
Why?
I would absolutely try to get in the quarterback's face, and every now and then you're going to get a sack. And it is effective when you gamble and you get it right. But the problem is you have to get it right. You have to get it. Yeah. You have to get it on the exact time in which he is actually going to do a bootleg, right? Quarterbacks like Peyton Manning, you bring a corner blitz, dude. That's like Christmas morning for him. You know, he sees that before he's ever coming. He sees the rotation of the safeties and he knows exactly how to expose that weakness in the defense. Matter of fact, it's difficult. I'll try to do this in as layman terms as possible here, but when a corner is going to blitz, you will see safeties rotate, okay? When safeties rotate and when they stack over a corner, well, as an offensive lineman or as a quarterback, you've got red alerts going off inside your head. Hey, guess what? He is stacked for a reason because he's got to take over that guy's job, right? Well, there is a time in which there is a big soft spot right there where that safety has to get down and he has to take over that corner's responsibility. And any good quarterback is able to take advantage of that deficiency. If you guess right on a bootleg, you can absolutely get to that quarterback before he ever gets out of his break. You got to guess right on the exact same play. Otherwise, you're in trouble.
Yeah, if you blitz that corner and you guess wrong, that's going to leave a huge void on the opposite side of the field. Like you're talking about, once you blitz a guy, the safety has to come over top. And if most teams, when they run the bootleg, they like to layer their passing options. You have a guy in the flat, guy intermediate, and then you have a deep throw. So if you bring that safety and you lose that linebacker who's chasing that stretch zone away, you're in a world of hurt.
Good quarterbacks in the NFL, they love when they get pressured because it is by far the easiest to pick a team apart. Bad quarterbacks, they get rattled.
I can tell you one guy who was really good at it, you know, Jake Plummer, because he would boot, but it would be like he was supposed to do a full boot, but he turns it into a half boot. So he can stop before the defender actually gets to him, and they would always find either Ashley Lee or Rod Smith down the field. Now, if that's the idea, if what maybe the Broncos may employ or the Vikings may do it with Kirk Cousins, it makes it really difficult on that corner, that linebacker, and that outside defensive end or linebacker.
Good stuff. Thanks for the question. RamosLaw.com text line. All right, let's hear Von Miller getting ticked off at Mark Kisla and stomping off the podium. This should be a fun way to talk about Von today. Hey, Von, how's it going?
To me, it's kind of the Vikings. It kind of sounds like the team you guys could be or would be in terms of the way you run your offense.
This guy right here, man. Do you, like, practice some of these questions when you go home? Like, no, our team is great. Our team is great. You know, the record is an indicator of what type of team we are. We got great head coaches. We got great players. You know, the energy is the best it's been all season long. And if we can ride that wave, we're gonna be where we want to be at. You know, I've never looked at another team and said, that's the team that I want us to be like. You know, I'm a Denver Bronco, you know, through the ups and downs. And we're going to get this thing turned around and we're going to be able to play. So thanks, guys. Appreciate you. This kid's the guy.
Basically, wow. Vaughn said, you tried me, man. Don't try me like that. I'm a grown man.
Why did Vaughn get so upset?
Did he really try him?
Yes, he did. You try to compare him to, in the defense, to someone else. You're trying to be what they are right now. It's like, no. We've gone to a Super Bowl with some of these guys in the room. I've gone to a Super Bowl. They haven't. So you should be talking about me and our defense in that way.
Well, look, Vaughn clearly has a history with Kiz, and a lot of guys do, to be totally honest with you. I'm fine with Mark. But a lot of guys have issues with him, and he is for sure public enemy number one in that locker room.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
He is the one guy that will go after anybody, and he doesn't care. Most beat guys, when you show up in the locker room, you really don't go after guys. You play softball because you got to show up the next day and you got to talk to those guys. Mm. Kiz will write what's on his mind, and he does it every single week. And guys do have issues because they don't like being critiqued. All that being said, you know, to be fair to Mark in this situation, I don't feel like he went after him at all in that. I mean, I felt like that was a totally appropriate question. And matter of fact, I don't think there's anything wrong when you're a struggling football team to acknowledge that there are teams out there that are doing things well. And when you watch them, you know, do you kind of think to yourself, I would like to be doing what they're doing?
You know, there's fewer and fewer guys, though, that are actually your teammates in 2015 that are still on this team. I mean,
what is there, like, Wolf? I think there's three.
There's nobody, right? On offense.
Wolf, only three.
Wolf, Chris Harris, Brandon McManus are the three I think of off the top of my head.
And Vaughn,
my bad. Vaughn.
So you forgot Vaughn.
Yeah, four. My bad, Vaughn. Don't hate me.
Wow. What a trip, man. Nobody on offense.
Sanders was the last one.
And Brandon, who's, you know, the world's most interesting man, as interesting as he is, you know, he is a kicker, you know. So there's only three position players that, that is a trip, man. It must be an interesting thing for Derek, Chris, and Vaughn to have been the highest of the highs. And now, in terms of Broncos history, They really are close to the lowest of the lows. If you go through Broncos history, we're right there, man. We're right there in the late 60s and early 70s when this team was a disaster.
Knocking on the door of mediocrity.
Did you hear anything inappropriate in the question?
No, but so that leads credence to your thought that perhaps there's just other stuff.
Oh, that's previous history. That's all that is.
Of course, Chris has, you know, had a run-in with kids this year. And, of course, Vaughn and Chris are good friends. And, yeah, there may be things in the past. I'm sure athletes remember. I'm sure you look at a reporter and you know what that dude has said about you. I'm sure Vaughn knows that I asked him, you know, is marijuana part of your life, you know, years and years ago. And it's probably likely he hasn't, like, there's a reasonable, even though I've talked to him many times since then, it would not surprise me if he's kept that in his Rolodex of why he's, you know.
When I played for the Redskins, we had a blacklist in our offensive line, and it was like mugshots of specific media
Seriously?
Members. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Specific media members, like, do not talk to this dude.
Oh, that's a little petty.
And that's probably
And
that's probably why Vaughn was a little upset. I mean, his numbers are not what they used to be.
Why is that petty?
Yeah.
You got actually a physical list of dudes not to talk to?
Yep. Look, again, this is not about Mark, but if somebody has been unfair in their reporting and you don't want to talk to them ever again, that's not petty to me.
Okay.
That petty to you, Nick?
No. If you don't come at me the right way, why should I speak to you?
I'm staying off your list. I'm just going to keep it nice and
cut. Oh, you're on my list.
Don't put me Santa's on naughty list.
You've been on my list.
You're on Santa's naughty list.
Stay on my list.
Poll for both you guys. When we come back, one of the most bizarre NFL occurrences takes an interesting twist. Details next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's D-Mac, Nick, and Tyler.
Well, you know, this Colin Kaepernick story, guys, is, and I don't want to get into whether or not, you know, he should play or he shouldn't play, that sort of thing. I mean, we've kind of gone around and around on it. The story itself is the workout. And now it's come out that there are 11 teams committed. The NFL is putting out a statement. Hugh Jackson is going to be running the workout.
Oh, is that right?
That is correct. And, but boy, oh boy, oh boy, does this thing feel dicey. And, you know, I'm listening to speculation that Kaepernick is just going to bow out of it. And the NFL is trying to get a little bit more official by announcing Hugh Jackson. And this is one of the stranger things, like how this came to be, why it's where it is, how he was contacted, the limitations of this. It is one of the more bizarre NFL stories I've ever seen.
It is a bizarre story. And yesterday I applauded both sides for coming to an agreement, however they got to it. But with more of the information coming out today, I started to change my mind and look at it a little differently. Just say, well, you know, why is the NFL doing this at this particular time and having it on Saturday? And it's just like, well, when you think about the league, are they doing it to pretty much save face to say, well, if they change more things associated with this workout and then Colin and his camp decide, you know what, you've changed so many different things, we really don't want to do it. Now they can say, well, hey, listen, we gave him an opportunity. He turned it down yet again. I hope that's not the case, because I know just looking at the optics, it looks so dysfunctional. But if something of quality comes out of this and Colin Kaepernick has an opportunity to be on the NFL roster as a backup quarterback with the possibility of starting, I would think it was all worth it in the end.
There's a lot of weird things in it. I would agree. The fact that the NFL basically called him up and said, you've got 2 hours to accept or not accept. That was unusual, you know. And then the stories that are popping out from Ian Rappaport to Adam Schefter all over the place. It's not a consistent message of why it is happening, right? Well, at first it was Colin was interested in playing, so he put this together. Then it was the NFL put this together. Then all of a sudden it was trickling out that teams wanted the NFL to do it. And then all of a sudden teams were like, whoa, what are you talking about? We don't know anything about this. This is all just entirely random. I will say this. If Colin bowed out, it would be a terrible look. I agree. It should have been on a Tuesday. That would be the most logical time to do it, when all teams have the ability to actually go. They're not planning for a game the next day. And they could send whatever representatives they want. But I'll tell you this. As a guy that had to do these workouts throughout the year, and Nick, I'm sure you had to do the exact same thing. When I got a call that I had to do a workout, guess what? I got my butt on a plane and I had to go do that workout the next day.
Right.
I didn't have a chance to prep for it. I didn't have a chance. I did have a chance to prep for it by working out and staying ready. Oh, but I went the next day when they told me to.
Well, here are the 11 teams. So as I go through them, you tell me if any of these teams, yes or no, yes, interest, no, no interest. Arizona.
Yes.
Maybe.
Okay.
That one actually makes a little bit of sense.
To be the backup to
Kyler Murray. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Atlanta.
Yes.
No.
Cleveland.
Yes.
Maybe.
Denver.
Heck no.
I still say yes.
What? All right. You got to back that one up. How is Denver?
He's still looking for a quarterback of the future. I mean, the backup position hasn't been truly solidified, has it? We don't know. So the door is still open. No, there's no certainty, but the door is still open.
I mean, if you wanted to make some sort of connection, we were just seriously to put the past really in the way rearview mirror.
That's kind of tough to do, guys.
Scangarello comes from the Shanahan system, San Francisco. Maybe it would be, I don't know. I can't
even
talk
about bygones are just bygones with John Elway?
You know what? Let me move on.
Vic Fangio was there when Colin Kaepernick was there, when Greg Roman was the offensive coordinator. Okay, so there's a little familiarity there.
Yeah. Detroit.
Yes.
I don't see, actually, no.
Okay. Miami.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely, Miami. I mean, Brian Flores is looking for a quarterback, and he's already proved that he's a wild card. He's willing to do anything.
No.
You know, Flores was the only coach I've seen so far to actually speak on behalf of the team saying they would be at the workout, which leads me to believe that he may be actually sort of interested in this. But then again, I mean, isn't Miami going to be drafting a quarterback in the first round?
You're darn right. They will be picking somebody number one. So if they're interested, they're interested in a backup.
Right. Despite the fact they keep winning games, which is stupid for them. New England's going to be there.
That is interesting. I would say yes because, I mean, Bill Belichick has been known to take cast-offs from other teams and turn them into great players.
Look, I think that Bill Belichick, he would be the coach that could handle the noise. He would be the coach that, by the way, has proven that he's interested in backup quarterbacks like this. They brought in Tebow. McDaniels drafted Tebow, and then they brought him out to New England. But, look, I mean, we've had a lot of yeses that just popped up so far that I want to be like, hold on. Like, if there's been this many teams that are legitimately interested in Colin Kaepernick, they didn't need this workout. Hmm. They could have gone to work him out anytime they wanted.
That's an interesting point.
Oh, gosh, guys, they could set it up anytime they wanted.
Let me go through the rest of them really quick then. New York Giants, yes or no?
No.
No.
New York Jets, yes or no?
No.
Tampa Bay, yes or no?
Yes.
No.
Washington, yes or no?
Yes.
No.
Nick, you're you got about
every team.
Eight of the 11 teams interested.
Well, but there is a method to the madness. When we look at some of the teams that you ran off, there's a reason why. And I gave you one for Brian Flores, and you said it yourself, that Flores was one of the first coaches to speak out and say, well, there was going to be someone there. We've seen Bill Belichick take, once again, cast-offs because they've done it, because they know how to handle it within their locker room. Looking at Tampa Bay, which you mentioned, Bruce Arians is there, right? And their quarterback coach is Byron Leftwich. They already have Jameis Winston. They're looking to move on. I mean, if you're not looking for Colin Kaepernick, you're still looking at Cam Newton, right? So there's a possibility there. Right. So it's not that far-fetched to think that these teams wouldn't be looking at Kaepernick as a legitimate number two quarterback. We didn't say starter. We said number two.
I know the morning show is talking about this today, and the texts were, 65-35 against Kaepernick being here. There is... Which is remarkable that people are that angry at Colin Kaepernick.
That doesn't mean that they're all angry, D-Mac. I broke it down in detail yesterday why Colin Kaepernick was not capable of starting.
But we're just talking about a workout.
That's all we're talking about.
Just because people vote no, that doesn't mean they're angry.
But
means that they don't think he's a good quarterback.
But the people
I'm sure there's a huge mix in there. I'm not denying that there's a huge mix in there.
Yeah, but the people in the morning, the reason they were sending text messages in because they didn't like what he did when he took the knee. To me, let's push that behind us because in the league and a lot of teams, they've embraced a lot of players who had bigger issues than what Colin Kaepernick did, and you got to get over that.
I'll say this, if there's 8 or 9 of these 11 teams that are legitimately interested, he will get signed. I don't believe that that's true, but if there's 8 or 9 teams interested, he would get signed immediately after this.
Okay, well, it's a fascinating story, and we'll see how it goes on Saturday, and the latest twist is that Hugh Jackson will be running things, and we'll see how it goes from there. Pete Bursich, he is the color man with Paul Allen at KFAN Radio. He's calling the game up in Minnesota. We'll get a behind enemies line look at the Vikings coming up next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's D-Mac, Tyler, and Nick.
All right, we are joined by Pete Bursich. He works for KFAN in Minneapolis doing the games with Paul Allen. Pete, thanks for taking some time out to talk with us. How are you this afternoon?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
You know, I think we share something before we get into the details of this game, and that is the preseason love of Kyle Sloter. Mm. And
yes.
It was hysterical listening to the broadcast of a preseason game where you guys were just falling all over yourselves, but I could not tell if it was serious or sarcasm. I thought it was serious at first, and then it reeked of sarcasm. But yeah. you want to bring us into that loop, because I think we have that in common, by the way.
Well, I was going to say he you know, one of the best preseason quarterbacks of all time,
right?
You know what I mean? He did have a good preseason with us, and we had some fun with it because he brought us back week after week in the preseason, and hopefully the kid someday will get his shot. But we had fun with it. You have to spice up the preseason some way. You know what I mean? You got to make it exciting somehow.
Well, we were laughing about it because I'm telling you, it was the same thing here in Denver with Kyle. I mean, he had this. He does have a legendary cult status. I mean, not only here in Colorado, but also I would say in Minnesota at this point. I don't know what's going on in Arizona, but it was interesting. That's for sure.
Yeah, no, he's. I guess you never know. You never know when a guy gets his chance and finally gets to play and step in. You never know. I mean, he did. I guess the point is he did everything he could possibly do with what with the snaps that were given to him here in Minnesota. He made every. Made everything he could out of it. So you got to give him credit for that.
No doubt.
That's right. Well, he's the one that got away. Pete, I don't know what it's been like out there in Minnesota, but it's been Gary Kubiak week for us. Curious how much of a conversation has that been? Gary Kubiak, Rick Dennison, Brian Perriani, and the return but matching up against Denver.
A little bit. I mean, it's things, things change year to year, and I mean, there's some familiarity. I think might be some familiarity with the scheme and what they see is similar to what maybe the Vikings have done in Denver, or what Denver has done in the past. But every year is different. The players are always different. I think there's no question that our offense is really based on the talents of Dalvin Cook and what he can do. Kirk Cousins has done a good job as of late. Started a little slowly, but he's playing a lot more confidence. And whether or not we'll have Adam Thielen back, we'll see. But Stephon Diggs has had a good couple weeks. Kyle Rudolph's had a good couple weeks. So offensively, they're continuing to evolve with guys that are in and guys that are out. And the one constant's been Dalvin Cook and how well he's played.
Is Gary the one calling plays? That's a unique situation. It's a little bit confusing.
No, Kevin Stefanski is he's the one calling plays. I know Coach Kubiak is in the booth for the most part, I believe. Keeping an eye out, watching him. What exactly he does from play to play, we don't know. But he's been a good, I think, solidifying force, and I think getting our offensive line figured out was something that kind of haunted us last year. We were a bit of an offense without an identity. Protections weren't all solid all the time. Those kinds of things, and really, I think knowing what kind of player you want for your system, what style of offensive lineman do you want for your system as well, has helped us out. We've had many lower round draft picks on the defensive line come through and play and do well. And we haven't had that on the offensive line side. We haven't had a lot of low draft picks eventually become good starters. And, that's where you're going to have a philosophy, and everybody has to be on the same page, the coaches, the scouts, the front office, everyone. And I think we have that now with Kubiak.
If the Vikings lose on Sunday, what has happened?
Well, I'll say this. Turnovers and penalties have been an issue, mainly not necessarily interceptions, but fumbles. If you guys can get the Cousins and get the ball on the ground, that could change everything. I mean, I think that's kind of maybe the biggest challenge that you guys have is whether or not you'll be able to do that. Not saying, schematically, I'm saying, you have three-step drops and things like that. It's kind of tough to get to the quarterback. You guys have a more than capable defensive line to do that, but penalties and turnovers have been the big things for us. You look at the three games that we've lost; they were all on the road, all outside, and all on grass. But you could trace, you go to Green Bay, you have that weird pass interference call on Dalvin Cook. You play the Bears, you sack Trubisky, you injure him, you recover the fumble, that gets overturned because of a penalty, you know, and you just have, it's just a play or two, and that's all it takes in this league. But it just seems that when we get in the red zone, penalties have been a problem, and putting the ball on the ground, mainly fumbling. So if we don't turn the ball over, I think we'll be, you know, we'll be in good shape.
Hey, Pete, what's been the overall perception when it comes to looking at and breaking down the Broncos' offense?
Well, you guys have some talent, and they're, you know, it's young and maybe hasn't been, you know, consistent, but Sutton, very, very good wide receiver, big body guy. You know, against Cleveland, you saw him go out and make a catch, and, you know, not necessarily right in the corner of the end zone, but it was a back shoulder catch that he just really climbed over the top of the corner and, you know, and picked it off. You know, Fant is exactly what you saw out of him in that game. He's that that kind of a player. You know, you look at the 75-yard touchdown reception, there were, what, five, maybe six Cleveland defenders that could have put a hand on him, you know, and he ran through two of them. And then Lindsey's a good, nice downhill runner. Good vision, plants his foot, and just goes north and south. So it's like you have a lot of talent, and it's just a matter of bringing it all together, you know, with the quarterback and with everything else, with running the whole thing. If you guys, the more every week that those guys play together, you think you can get better, you know, better and better. So there's some good young talent on your offense.
All right, Pete. Well, good job being humble. You know you're a 10.5-point favorite. We all know what the situation is. We all know
that's the fastest way to go broke is betting on these NFL
games. And we also know that this game is not being played outside on the road. It's being played in the comforts of an indoor turf stadium. Yeah.
We've played well at home. You know, all year we've done much better at home than we have on the road. And, yeah, you guys get the bye, you get the week off. What are you talking about? You know, yeah, 2 weeks to prepare.
All right.
I mean,
we got a chance.
Yeah. And by the way, your PA announcer, Alan Roach, is a Denver guy.
That's right.
I hope everybody knows the voice of God is actually a Denver guy.
Oh yeah. Big time.
Really? The yes. voice of the Super Bowl too.
The voice of the Olympics, voice of everything. He just has
He's the voice of God. Maybe you hear him everywhere.
Yeah, just keep all that in mind. We have the intangible. All right, thanks, Pete. Have a great call. Okay. We appreciate your time.
Thanks, Pete.
All right, guys. Thank you. Take care.
All right, that's Pete Bursich from KFAN. He does the games on the radio there in Minnesota. When we come back, it is time for Thursday Night Football. That's next right here on The Fan.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.